the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is the Word of God, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. Hey, I'm glad that you are here today. We believe that when the people of God get together to worship Him, that God's presence is manifested in a special way and that we experience it as we gather together. There is this really moving story of a cat. It's about this cat that loved its owner so much that it would try to greet its owner anytime it would get off the train to come home. So it would walk with its owner down to the train. The owner would get on the train, ride into the city, work for the day, and then come back. And after the cat walked down to the train with him and he got on the train, then the cat would do whatever cats do throughout the day and would come back to the train station at exactly the time the train would get back with its owner to get off. This happened day after day after day, but one day, the cat shows up in the afternoon, and the owner doesn't get off of the train. And the cat doesn't know it, but what happened to the owner is he had a brain hemorrhage, and he had died at work. The cat doesn't understand that, so he waits around and then eventually leaves. And the next day, the cat shows up at the train station at the same time in the afternoon to hopefully see its owner get off the train and come home. He did this day after day after day. For 10 years, the cat returned to that train station looking for its owner, but the owner never came back. And this cat became a national symbol in Japan for faithfulness. I mean, what kind of person, what kind of animal is that faithful? And it was such a symbol that eventually the Japanese made a statue to commemorate this faithful cat. We have a picture of that statue. This is what it looks like. It's actually a dog. That's a plot twist. It was a dog. You've probably heard this story before. It was a dog that did that the whole time. But I told it as if it was a cat, so you would know my heart toward cats is not completely cold. I don't hate them. So this dog showed up every single day to the train station for 10 years. That is a different type of faithfulness. He never changed. For 10 years, he was back and back and back. That is relentless faithfulness. We are in a series right now of lessons in the book of Malachi, and we are calling it Called to Holiness. Holy means set apart or divinely different. And if you read through the Bible, what you find is that God is set apart, that He is divinely different in this way. He is relentlessly faithful. Unlike any person, unlike any cat, unlike any dog, God is relentlessly faithful. And what is incredible is that God's people experience His relentless faithfulness. So today, as we look at Malachi chapter 2, verses 3 through 9, we will see three ways we experience God's relentless faithfulness. Three ways we experience God's relentless faithfulness. Let's look at the first way. Number one, we experience His relentless faithfulness when God corrects us. Now, this section right here, these verses are being spoken to the priests of Israel. And that was a special position. Not just anyone could be a priest. You had to be the grandson or the great-grandson or the great-great-grandson of this one guy named Levi. You had to come from this guy named Levi. And if you did, then you could be a priest. And the priest at this time, they were working, but they weren't working the way that God told them to work. They kind of thought, you know what, we can get away with just doing things our way. We can obey God most of the time, but a little disobedience won't be that bad. And they thought to themselves, you know what, if we have a little disobedience, it's not like God is going to fire us. If we have a little disobedience, well, it's not like God is going to end all sacrifices in Israel, which the Levites, the people of Levi, the priests, were responsible for. They thought, no way God would do that. But look with me at Malachi chapter 2, verse 3. God says this to the priests, "Look, I am going to rebuke your descendants, and I will spread animal waste over your faces, the waste from your festival sacrifices, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I sent you this decree so that my covenant with Levi may continue," says the Lord of armies. You know, there are some things that you read in the Bible, and you go, what on earth am I supposed to do with that? You know, how on earth does that apply to me and my life? You might have felt that way when I just read those verses. Because God says that he is going to spread animal waste on their faces. You know, like one does. I mean, what? What is going on there? Well, animal waste is exactly what you think it is. God is not giving these priests a new makeup routine, okay? And if you're looking for a new makeup routine, please, for the love of the people around you, don't do this. Instead, God is teaching them something. Animal waste is exactly what you would imagine it to be. It is what comes out of an animal, but it is also what is left over from the animal after it has been sacrificed. It is the animal's guts. That's disgusting, isn't it? Now, would you be embarrassed if someone spread animal waste all over your face? And if you say, well, no, Sean, why would that? We have people who would love to pray with you after the service. Yeah, of course you would be embarrassed if you had animal waste spread all over your face. But it's not just that this would be embarrassing to the priests. What God says is, you will be taken away with the animal waste after I spread it all over your face. Here's what would happen. Here's what God told the priests to do. After they sacrificed an animal, they would take the entrails, the waste of the animal, and they would take it outside of the city. It had to go outside of the city, and there is where it would be burned. And the idea was that everything in the city was supposed to be pure, was supposed to be clean. And these, the guts of the animal, were unclean, so they needed to be taken outside of the city. And it was supposed to be this picture of moral cleanliness. It was supposed to be this picture of sinlessness. And what happened with, or what God said was going to happen with the priest was, they were going to have this unclean stuff, this filthy stuff spread all over their faces, and then they would be taken outside of the city. They couldn't be a priest from outside of the city. They were essentially being fired from being priests. But it wasn't just that God was going to embarrass them and fire them. Look what he says. He says, I am going to rebuke your descendants. And then he goes on to say, so that my covenant with Levi may continue. Now, rebuke, that's probably not a word that you have used lately. But to rebuke is to strongly and seriously correct. That's what it means. God says he is going to strongly and seriously correct the descendants of these priests. In other words, God is doing all of this to these priests. He is embarrassing them. He is firing them so that their descendants would be corrected. So that the descendants could continue to be priests. So that the descendants could continue to lead worship with the people of Israel. This is all about God correcting them. That's what God does. He corrects us. It's not about them going away and God never dealing with them again. It's not about God just giving up on them, God abandoning them. Instead, God shows relentless faithfulness when he corrects them. How many of us have experienced the relentless faithfulness of God when he has corrected us? You were doing something you knew you shouldn't have been doing. Maybe you were making it a habit. Maybe you had no intention of ever stopping it. And God came in and corrected you. Has that happened to you? Praise the Lord that it does. God has corrected you and it changed you. Maybe you were addicted to drugs or alcohol. And God, at some point, all of a sudden, opened your eyes to the terribleness, the awfulness of your situation. And then you changed. Or maybe you were starting to do business in a way that wasn't completely legal or wasn't completely right. And one day you were reading the Bible and it was like God slapped you across the face when you read about how God will judge those who are crooked. And then you changed. Or you were neglecting your family because of your work. You were putting your career above everything else. And then God used a moment of crisis to show you what really matters. And then you changed. Or you were harboring bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart towards someone who wronged you. And it was starting to rot your soul. But through prayer, God convicted you of this, and then you changed. Or maybe you were living in secret sin, thinking that nobody knew about it until God brought your sin to light. And it was painful, maybe it was embarrassing. And then you changed. Has that happened to you? You see, God is too committed to us. He is too faithful to not correct us. He is relentlessly faithful. We experience that as he corrects us. We had a leaking pipe here at the building. This is part of the reason why the bathrooms are being renovated right now. By the way, one of the bathrooms is open. If you need to use it, it's over there. We had this leaking pipe, and it was under the floor. It was in the foundation. That's my understanding of it. And as that pipe was leaking, it was starting to flush out some sand that was under the foundation. Now, let's say we saw that, and we decided we were just going to ignore it. Let's say that we decided we were just not going to fix it. What do you think would have happened? If we never corrected that, what do you think would have happened? Well, eventually, it might mess up the foundation because the sand under it is gone. Maybe eventually it becomes a little unstable over there. Maybe it starts to crack. Maybe eventually that part of the building caves in, it falls down. If that happened, would you feel like the people who saw it really cared about you? Really cared about your safety? No, of course not. You would feel the opposite of that. You would feel like they don't care about you. They don't care about your safety. They don't care about the church. Now, the church is more than a building. The church is the people, and the building is just a tool that God uses for his purpose and his people. But if we noticed the leak and then decided to do nothing about it, then you know that you would feel like, we don't care about you. We're not faithful to you. We're not faithful to your safety. We are not faithful to the safety of the people of this church. And you would be right to feel that way. But I'm happy to say that the properties committee handled it. They corrected it. And that shows you that they are faithful to you and your safety. Well, in the same way, God is relentlessly faithful to you. He is so faithful that he corrects you. And when you, one of the ways that you experience his relentless faithfulness is when he corrects you. So that's one of the ways we experience his relentless faithfulness. He corrects us. But that's not the only way. We see another way here. Number two, God covenants with us. Not long ago, I was on Amazon, and I happened to see that this drink that I really like was on sale. And when I say on sale, I mean it was like 65% off. And one of those that you look at and you're like, I can't pass that up. Problem was that it was a variety pack of the drinks that I like. And it had a certain flavor in there that I've never had before. But, you know, I thought to myself, how bad could it be? I didn't really pay attention to it. I didn't read any of the reviews. And maybe I got a little carried away in the excitement of this deal. I thought it was a good idea to buy 4 packs of these. Okay? Each pack has 18 cans of these drinks. Okay, so yeah, maybe the excitement did get to me because I bought 72 cans of this particular drink. And in each pack, 3 of those cans was mango flavored. I don't know if you've ever had a mango flavored drink before. Okay, so we got in and I tried it. It is disgusting. I mean, it is horrible. And so I drink it, and it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe not the best choice. And I realized at that moment, I maybe made a mistake. Because now I have 12 of these mango-flavored drinks. My little girl came up to me a couple nights later, and she said, Daddy, look what I got. And she held up this mango-flavored drink. And I said, Baby, thank you, but that is the worst drink that I've ever had. It is horrible. I don't know who likes it. I don't know who made it. I don't know who drinks it. But I'm not going to. And she said, okay, well, do you want me to put it back? I'll bring you a different one. And I said, no, I'll drink it. And so I drank it. And here was my feeling that I bought these. You know, I chose these drinks. And now I'm kind of committed to them because I spent the money. Now, I'm happy to say that I've only puked like 4 times while I've had these. No, I'm just kidding. No, here's what I did. I told my brother I really thought he would like these drinks, and I pawned them off on him, so now they're not my problem anymore. Yes, I chose these drinks, but even though I chose them, they are so bad that I have abandoned my commitment to them. I'm not going to drink them. You know, when you read through the Bible, a word that you see a lot is covenant. A covenant is a chosen relationship. In the Bible, it is God's commitment to us. And look what God says in Malachi chapter 2, verse 4. Then you will know that I sent you this decree, so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of armies. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave these to him. It called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. See, God chose to have a special relationship with these priests, with these descendants of Levi. He was committed to them, and that commitment was to their life and peace. That's what God committed to these people. And they were supposed to respond to his commitment by loving him, by listening to him, by revering him, by respecting him. But God knew that these people weren't perfect. God knew that they would not always listen to him. God knew that they would mess up sometimes. And what God decided to do was to commit to them anyway. Even when they deliberately went against God. Even when their attitudes were terrible, even when they shook their fist at God, he stayed committed to them because he had covenanted with them. He was faithful to them, and they experienced his relentless faithfulness through his covenant to them. Most of us kind of think that God thinks like us. You know, we think that if we have a good thought, that's probably how God thinks too. So when it comes to relationships, we think that God views relationships the same way that we do. And we are willing to be faithful to people up to a certain point. Right? And once they cross that line, we're done with them. Okay, so you lied to me? We're done. You gossiped about me? We're done. You shared one of my secrets? We're done. You said you were going to make sweet potato casserole for the potluck, but you didn't? Okay, we're done. I mean, not to give specific examples here. But you know, we think that when someone crosses the line, we should be done with them. And because we are that way, we think God is that way too. Because we don't commit to other people in a covenant way. And we don't say to people, hey, I'm going to be your friend no matter what. I have chosen you to be my friend. So no matter how many times you lie to me, no matter how many times you betray me, I am going to be your friend. We don't think that way. People don't think that way. And we think that God thinks the way that we do. We think that God should treat us that way. We think that God treats us like I treat those mango drinks. I mean, yeah, I chose them, but I'm not committed to them. Well, if you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about how we have a new covenant in Jesus. What's that? What that is saying is that if you have faith in Jesus, God has covenanted himself to you. He has committed himself to you. And then if we go a few verses later, we read this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. God is relentlessly faithful to you, and you experience that in how he covenants with you. But you might hear that today and say, Sean, that's really hard to believe. Yeah, maybe it's true for some, but it's not true for me. It's because you don't know what I have struggled with. You don't know the terrible things that I have done. You don't know the awful thoughts that pop into my head sometimes. You don't know my secrets. I am far worse than you can imagine. So maybe God commits. Maybe God is faithful to some, but not me. I'm too far gone. He couldn't treat me that way. But friend, if you have faith in Jesus, if you are trusting in him for the forgiveness of your sins, then he has covenanted himself to you. And yes, you may have struggles. Yes, you may still sin from time to time. You may not be faithful to God all the time. But listen to what God says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Yeah, we might struggle. We might not be faithful, but God remains faithful. God is relentlessly faithful, and we experience that in how he covenants with us. That's the second way we experience. There's a third way that we experience his relentless faithfulness. It's number three. God calls out to us. I've heard people say over and over and over again, I just wish I could hear from God. I just wish I knew what God was trying to say to me. I bet all of us in here have felt that way at some point. Well, listen to what we read in Malachi chapter 2, verse 5. This is God speaking. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave these to him. It called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and integrity, and turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should desire instruction from his mouth, because he is the messenger of the Lord of armies. You, on the other hand, have turned from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have violated the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of armies. So I, in turn, have made you despised and humiliated before all the people because you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in your instruction. These priests, these descendants of Levi, their job wasn't just to present sacrifices. They were also supposed to teach people the word of God. This is what God says to these priests in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 11. Okay, which, by the way, Leviticus, that, have you realized it's Leviticus? Okay, not as impressed as I thought you'd be with that. Okay, this is what God says to the people of Levi, to the priest. He says, and teach the Israelites all the statutes that the Lord has given to them through Moses. So that was part of their job. They were supposed to teach people God's instruction. They were supposed to teach people God's word. That's why God says to the priest in Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, for the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should desire instruction from his mouth, because he is the messenger of the Lord of armies. See, these priests were supposed to be teaching, were supposed to be showing people what God wanted. The people of Israel, back in the Old Testament, they were just like us. They struggled with sin just like we do. They didn't always do right. There were times that they went against God just like we do. And yet, through his priest, God was always instructing his people. He was always giving them knowledge. He was always sending them messages through his priests. Now, even though these people were walking away from God, God called out to them. Even though they were walking away from God, God called out to them. He didn't just let them go. He didn't just say to them, you know what, okay, you have made your decision, so I'm going to sit back here and keep my mouth shut and watch you walk away. No, instead, God calls out to his people because he is relentlessly faithful. So he sends his priest to give them messages. He calls out to them through his priest. They experience God's relentless faithfulness in how he called out to them. When I was in middle school, so like 12 or 13 years old, about 10 years ago, I guess. That was a joke. Our family went out west. Okay, I'd never been to that part of the country before. I thought out west was like Pensacola, you know. So we were going out west, and we went out to Utah. We'd never been there before, and my parents thought it would be a good idea for us to go to a ski lodge. Now, we weren't going to ski. We went there just to look around and take it in. But middle school Sean was not capable of looking around and taking, you know, I had to find something to do. I had to find some trouble to get in. That's how I was. So my siblings and I go out to the back of the ski lodge where there's a slope. And we decide, you know what? We're just going to go down this little slope. And we had never seen snow like this. We'd definitely never been skiing before. So we thought you could just slide down and then you could walk back up. Turns out that's not how it is. So we started sliding down this slope. And it was getting late in the day. It was the time of day where the sun begins to fade behind the mountains. The time of day where it starts to really get cold. This was late spring, so there was still snow up in the mountains. It would still snow once a week or so. And that's in the afternoon, that's when we decided to go down. And then once we went down one of these little hills, we decided, hey, we should probably go down another one. We went down another one. And then we slid down another one. We had gone several hundred yards, and we decided, you know what? It's getting late. It's starting to get cold. We should probably make our way back. We tried to go up the slope. That didn't work. And so I don't know if we thought that there was going to be like a staircase, maybe an escalator off to the side of the slope, but we wandered off into the woods. And in the woods, the snow was about 3 or 4 feet deep. And it was starting to get really dark, starting to get really cold. And we're wandering through the woods, trying to find our way back, trying to get to where we should be. And it didn't take us but a few minutes to go, I think we're lost. We start looking around, can't remember exactly where we came from, where we're trying to go, but we just keep walking, thinking that we will find something that will lead us back to the lodge. And as we are wading through this deep snow, we hear my parents call out our names. They're yelling our names, and we try to yell back to them, and for some reason, they can't hear us. So they're yelling our names. We're trying to say, hey, we're okay, we're trying to make it. Here we are, come get us. But they can't hear us, so we're wading through the snow. After 5 minutes, and then 10 minutes, 15 minutes, still, we aren't making any progress. We can't find our way back, but we can still hear my parents call out our names. And at about the 20-minute mark, we finally find a road, and it's the road that leads up to the lodge. So we get on the road, and we start walking up, and after a few minutes of walking, we see my parents on the road still calling out our names. And frankly, they were a lot more angry than I thought they'd be to see that their children were alive. You know, the whole time that we were lost, we could hear my parents calling out to us, calling our names. It was like their voices were guiding us to where we needed to be. And here's the thing. They were relentlessly faithful to us because we're their kids. So they weren't going to just let us freeze out there. They weren't just going to let us wander away for good. They weren't just going to let us go. They were relentlessly faithful to us, their kids. And we experienced their faithfulness as they called out to us. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 6, is we all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way. You and me and everybody else have decided to walk away from God, to walk the way that we want instead of the path that God wants. But friends, God has continued to call out to us. He calls out to us through His Word and through His Spirit. And it is because He calls out to us that we can hear Him and then we can respond, we can turn away from our sin and we can live the life that we were made for. God is relentlessly faithful to us. And we experience that as He calls out to us. Are you wandering today? God is calling out to you. Are you questioning who you are and how you should be living? God is calling out to you. Are you trying to figure out your life? God is calling out to you. Are you closing your ears to His voice? God is calling out to you. Are you rejecting God and what He wants for you? God is calling out to you. Are you running from His plan? God is calling out to you. Are you feeling alone and wondering if God really does love you? God is calling out to you. So read His Word. Hear His voice. Take time to settle down and listen to Him in prayer. He is calling out to you. We experience His relentless faithfulness as God calls out to us. And by the way, this is why one of our core values here as a church is Bible saturation. We want everything we do to be soaked in the Word of God. That's because God calls out to us through His Word. We need to hear His Word. We need to hear Him calling out to us because it is one of the ways that we experience His relentless faithfulness. So that is the third and final way that we see here. God is relentlessly faithful to us. Haven't you felt that? Haven't you seen that in your life? Well, we experience that God is relentlessly faithful when He corrects us.
He covenants with us, and he calls out to us. And so our response to God's relentless faithfulness should be to praise him, to give him everything that we are and everything that we have, to give our entire lives to him. The truth is, we don't do that. We don't respond to his relentless faithfulness, and maybe it is because we don't see the truest, the clearest display of his relentless faithfulness to us, and that is in Jesus. You want to know just how relentlessly faithful God is? Look to Jesus. You see, God created us for himself. We belong to him. We owe him everything. Yet, all of us have decided to live for ourselves instead of for him. The Bible calls that sin. And for our sin, we deserve the judgment of God. But God is so relentlessly faithful that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to pay for our sin with his life. God sent Jesus so that we could be forgiven of our sin. Jesus died for our sin so that we could have a relationship with God. He died for our sin. He was put in a grave. And then he rose up a few days later by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus ascended back into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to live in anyone who trusts in Jesus so that we would be kept, so that we would be held onto until Jesus returns. That is relentless faithfulness. And we experience it ultimately in Jesus. Have you experienced it? If you have never trusted in Jesus, then you are missing out and you are longing for this relentless faithfulness. You were made for him, and you will only find true life in him. But you are separated from him because of your decision to sin and because of your nature of sin. But the good news is that you can be forgiven of your sin. Come to God now and say, I know I am a sinner. I know I have done wrong. Forgive me based on who Jesus is and what he has done for my forgiveness. And if you believe that in your heart, your sin will be forgiven and you will experience the relentless faithfulness of God forever. So if you know that I'm talking to you, if you can feel God pulling at your heart, we're going to sing a song here in just a minute. And as we sing, I'm going to be standing right down here waiting for you. Come as everybody else is singing. Let's talk. Let me pray for you. Let me answer questions if I can. And then I'm going to be hanging around after the service waiting to talk with you. Do not leave here today without trusting in Jesus and experiencing the relentless faithfulness of God. And because he is this way, and because we have experienced his relentless faithfulness, we should respond by giving everything to God. Will you do that this week? As you are tempted to be selfish, as you are tempted to live for the things of this world, will you give everything to God because he is relentlessly faithful? We're going to respond together by singing of how great he is, by singing his praises. And as we sing together, I encourage you, sing loudly. Sing from your heart. Praise him passionately and truly because of who he is and what he has done. And decide in your heart right now that you will give everything to God because he is relentlessly faithful to you. So I'm going to pray and we will sing together. Would you pray with me? God, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. There are so many times that we are faithless, but Lord, we depend on and we trust in your faithfulness. I pray, Lord, that as we struggle this week, as we are tempted this week, as there are 1,000 things that call for our lives, for us to give everything to them, I pray, Lord, that we would stay focused on you. We would see how faithful you are to us, that your Holy Spirit would work in us, that your Holy Spirit would change our hearts so that we would respond in faithfulness to you. I pray, Lord, if there is anyone in here right now who doesn't know you, who has not trusted in Jesus for forgiveness, I pray that you would grab a hold of their heart. They would see their sin, that they would see Christ's righteousness. They would see that hope is only in Jesus, and they would turn themselves over to you right now. Let it be for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.